it's National Science Week, and I'm so glad that now more than ever science is presented as a fascinating and fun thing to behold. When I grew up, I blew it off, I reckon, as something too hard to comprehend a lot of the time. But I think we're getting better these days at science communication. Dr. Sophie Calabretto is one of the wonderful communicators of our time. The applied mathematician, fluid mechanist and science writer from Adelaide has a new Royal Institution of Australia podcast out called The Science Briefing, and she joins me now for a yarn. Hi, Doc.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me. I get really excited when people want to talk about science at all, so yeah. I'm very pleased to be chatting with you.
What gets you excited about science? Why do you love it so much?
I think it's something that I've always been interested in, and I know people say that all the time, but I think for me it was I just really always wanted to know why things happened and how things worked. And so because of that, I fell naturally into the sciences, really. So it was, you know, why is the sky blue? I remember asking my dad one time, what is fire? Like, what is actually physically fire? Like, I know it's heat and light, but what is fire made of? You know, they were all the weird questions I had as a kid. And so I think for me, it was just trying to unpack and understand the universe. That's sort of what got me into sort of science and asking those big questions.
Oh, right. So what was your journey from those big questions being asked to actually finding a career in science?
Yeah, so I was very lucky because I had, you know, very good parents who were just like, you know, as long as you try your hardest and do the things you love, we'll support you in any way. And so one of the nice things is I missed all the stigma about, you know, people who like science and maths are dorks. I was just really into it and really encouraged to do it. So I went to university to become an astrophysicist originally, because essentially I really liked physics at high school and I thought space was cool. They were my main two motivators. And then I got to university and I realized that when I thought it was physics that I really liked, it was using math to solve problems in physics. And so that's sort of how I moved over into mathematics and became an applied mathematician. So we sort of have, you know, a few different branches of mathematics. So there's pure maths, which is what I often call maths for the sake of maths. And that's kind of number theory and the hardcore, you know, you've got lots of symbols everywhere and it's a bit esoteric and it might seem a little bit irrelevant sometimes. But the pure mathematicians create the maths for the rest of us to use. And then an applied mathematician takes, you know, the mathematical tools and tries to solve real world problems. And so I ended up, as I said, doing applied maths and then becoming a fluid mechanist. And so that is using mathematics to understand why fluids do the things they do, because we don't understand them at all, really. And yet fluids, anything that's like a liquid or a gas is a fluid. And, you know, you look at things like turbulent fluid flow around your aeroplane, and we don't actually quite understand it. Like, we can recognize it and we can deal with it. And so the sort of stuff that I got into was literally trying to understand why fluid goes a little bit crazy sometimes, just at a fundamental level,
So
we can kind of harness its power for good rather than evil.
Oh, I love that. That's great. I've seen some photos, and well, not necessarily just photos, but videos of this phenomenon where a fluid looks like it's frozen in time, but it's actually moving. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So that's actually... Those videos are amazing. That is the best example of what we call laminar flow. So if you get fluid in a certain situation where it's able to do exactly what it wants to do, it flows in layers. So that's what the sort of the laminar means. And so essentially you think, so when you've got fluid coming out of, usually you see it as a hose and it looks like it's frozen. And it's because all of the layers of fluid coming out of the hose are going at exactly the same speed and are being really, really well behaved. So you just get sort of a sheet or kind of a tube of fluid. And then, yeah, someone puts their, you know, it just looks like it's frozen in time, and then you put your finger in it and you realize that it's actually flowing. And so that's kind of, you know, the state of fluid that uses the least amount of energy. And then sometimes, you know, if you've got something in the way, it gets a little bit unstable and then it becomes turbulent. So kind of laminar flow is at the opposite end of the thing that I study. But yeah, those videos are beautiful. You'd have to have the cleanest, most perfect pipe, and you know, the whatever's pumping that water would just need to be so controlled to get that beautiful uniform flow. But yeah, it's amazing. If people haven't seen it, they should definitely look that up on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Like frozen water flow, yep, or something, that probably gets you where you need to go.
Oh, it is very, very cool. Absolutely worth checking out. With us at the moment this Science Week is science communicator Dr. Sophie Calabretto from Adelaide. Her new podcast is called The Science Briefing. Tell us about this. I love this podcast. I've had a bit of a listen, and you tackle all sorts of different topics, don't you?
Yeah, and so I work with the Cosmos Newsroom journalists. So we've got Royal Institution of Australia, and then as part of the Royal Institution, we've got this thing called Cosmos Magazine. So there's, it's a quarterly print magazine, but then they also have a subscription-based thing called Cosmos Weekly. So if you subscribe to them, they send you amazing articles every week. And then there's, we also have just Cosmos Online, so there's free articles for everyone. So we've got this amazing set of sort of, they're scientists, but they're also journalists working in the newsroom. And as new things are happening in science, they're covering those and making them really approachable for everyone. And so basically the science briefing is twice a week. I grab one of them and we talk about one of the cool new stories in science. It could be, you know, a development in science, or they could have unlocked something new, or it might just be, you know, something of interest that's come back into the public arena for something. So, you know, our first episode, we covered the James Webb Space Telescope.
As a space nerd, you must have been absolutely loving seeing those incredible images.
They were just sensational. And it's this thing that, you know, you think about how far away the pictures are that have been taken with, you know, because light takes a certain amount of time to travel to us. You're literally seeing photos of the universe in the past. And, you know, and so I talked to, you know, one of the Cosmos Newsroom journalists about, you know, the James Webb Space Telescope, like what it means, how it works, why it's so special compared to some of the other telescopes that, you know, we've heard of, like Hubble and that kind of stuff. And yeah, so it's, and it's great because we've got seven newsroom journalists, and they are all such different people with such different interests in science. So we cover everything. It's really fun for me because I get to talk about things that I would never have thought of before. And so I'm often learning everything as we're having these conversations.
Now, science can make us worried sometimes when we see doom and gloom in the environment, but it's also pretty marvelous because there's lots of people with their thinking caps on. You know, the plastic crisis we've got at the moment. You're covering how scientists are getting creative in the lab by breeding some worms that like to eat plastic.
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing that people forget is that to be a really good scientist, you have to be really creative. So it's not about being really, really smart. You know, it's about, you know, being dedicated to something that you're passionate about and then thinking about it in a completely new way to come up with these, you know, new ways of dealing with things. Yeah, and so that was, I think that was a story that I did with Ellen, and it just absolutely blew my mind. Imagine thinking you've got these worms, so the things that we have all the time that are going to, you know, break down plastic for us. It's absolutely, it's nuts. Everyone should have a listen. That's a great episode. So far, everything we've done has been a great episode.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute delight to have you on the program today, Dr. Sophie Calabretto. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.